Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Luke 21. While some were speaking of the temple, how it was adorned with noble stones and offerings, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." This is the text. The temple in Jerusalem was quite a sight to behold. It was one of the great architectural wonders of the ancient world. And the western side of the foundation of this, there at Mount Zion, what they did was they flattened the top of the mountain, not by digging down, but by building up. And so they built this gigantic platform. The western edge of it is now known as the Wailing Wall, or the Western Wall. And from it, the base of its foundation to its top, it stands about what would be like a 9-story building. And what they took these massive stones, quarried them to fit perfectly together. No mortar in between. They just fit together seamlessly. And this entire platform, on the top of it, is equivalent to about 23 football fields. And on that, they built the temple, which was a 90-foot by 30-foot structure, mostly made of cedar, but then had sprawling courtyards. And there was much marble. And it was, again, quite a sight to behold. It took more than 40 years to construct. It was very impressive. The platform part of it still is. But that platform, that foundation, is all that remains. Jesus is quick to remind his disciples that the noble stones and impressive trappings of the temple can be and will be easily thrown down. That was a shocking statement to the people in Jesus' day. We can't imagine a building like our church being flattened by war. Jesus' words were shocking. Yet that temple would be destroyed not even 40 years later, as in 70 AD the Romans came and decimated the city of Jerusalem. We watch the news and click around on the internet. Doesn't take much searching to find where churches around the world are being destroyed, not just in Syria and Iraq. There are a lot of places where the church is under persecution. Millions of Christians have been killed in the last few generations. You know, more than 2 million in Sudan alone since 1950. Around the world, the words of Jesus from our gospel reading today hold a much closer personal meaning for those Christians than we tend to see those words as something that happens at the very end, right before Jesus comes. It'll be bad. Or he's talking about 70 AD in Jerusalem. That, oh yes, that's going to be bad. And it was. But what Jesus tells his disciples, and why we read this in the church regularly, is because Jesus is telling all of his hearers that this is what we should expect. When you turn on the news and see the desolation and devastation of entire cities and regions like Aleppo or Mosul, when you hear of wars and tumults, as Jesus says, just remember that He told you this is what's going to happen. As we've been going through our study of Revelation in our Sunday morning Bible class, we see the great tribulation happening. It happened throughout all the generations from Adam on, throughout the world, ever since Adam defied God and ate the forbidden fruit. What we should expect is that not one stone, not one cement block should be standing upon another. Every day that you are allowed to live in peace and quietness is an undeserved gift from God. And be thankful for it. Thank God that we are not seeing that kind of destruction here in Quincy this day. And pray for our brothers and sisters around the world who have seen and are continuing to see the words of Jesus played out in their backyards and in their homes. Well, there was another occasion when Jesus spoke of another stone, a lasting stone that cannot be broken. He reminds his hearers of what Scripture says, "The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone." Christ is the stone that the builders of the temple in Jerusalem had rejected. The problem with the temple there in Jerusalem was not that it was built with grand and noble and glorious stones. Just like the problem with the Pharisees and the Sadducees was not that they came from wealthy or privileged families. Wealth and honor are gifts from God, something for which we should all be daily thankful. That we have a roof over our head. That we have ample food in our homes. The problem was what they did with those gifts. And what they believe and what they taught others to believe. The presence of a glorious temple in Jerusalem should have been a good thing. The noble stones and offerings adorning the Temple Mount should have been a perpetual testimony of the goodness and nobility of God Himself. But it wasn't. When Jesus cleared the temple of the money changers and the sellers of animals, He rightly called it a den of robbers. The chief priests themselves did not believe the word of God. They rejected outright the notion that there is a resurrection of the dead. They did not believe in heaven or hell or angels. They said, when you're dead, you're dead. But you live on forever in the memory of your children for all generations after that. Oh, isn't that nice? I mean, wow, what a great hope that is. These so-called spiritual leaders, the priests in Jesus' day, they were adamant, saying, there is no resurrection. And Jesus comes and says, I am the resurrection and the life. Truly, the stone the builders rejected had become the capstone. Now, the capstone is the top stone in the arch. Really holds the entire arch together as it distributes the weight properly. And if you remove the capstone, the whole thing will fall in. The temple in Jerusalem, built by King Herod, it was built to last forever. It was destroyed. Just as Solomon's temple, 600 years earlier, had been built to stand there forever, it was destroyed. Those buildings, they were magnificent feats of architecture. They were meant to stay there forever. And they came to a disastrous end. The good news of salvation, the forgiveness of sins, the hope of the resurrection found in the Word of God must be the strength of a temple. If Christ is not the foundation, a temple, a church, a person will come to a disastrous end. Just because something or someone has a noble appearance of godliness does not mean that everything is right with God. I mean, the Crystal Cathedral can go bankrupt. And when I was growing up, who'd have imagined that that would have been possible? You know, like I said last week, it's our sinful mind that puts more value into a big church in a big city. What God wants from His church is for His church to be faithful. Faithfulness is the only measure of success within the kingdom of God. In Jesus' day, in the eyes of the people, Herod's temple was a big success. But it was not in God's eyes. It was a den of robbers. Who could imagine that God would allow that temple to be torn down so that not one stone is upon another? Now, Jesus certainly knew what was going to happen. He even uses it as a metaphor for his own death and resurrection. He says, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will build it back up again." God does not reside in temples made by human hands. For what building can contain him? But he has chosen to reside in a temple nonetheless. And as Scripture says, you are that temple. Now the temple of Solomon, the temple of Herod, they were built to last forever. They came to a disastrous end because those worshiping at that temple, or those temples, had abandoned God. And because Adam's children have abandoned God, rejected him there in the garden, there had to be a new Adam, a second Adam, for whom no earthly temple of wood or stone needed to be built. The good news of salvation, the forgiveness of sins, the hope of the resurrection, they were not the strength of the temple in Jerusalem. Because the builders of that temple had rejected Christ, who is the cornerstone, the capstone, the firm foundation. Adam originally was created to live forever. Sin brought about the disastrous end we call death. But because of the promise that is made there to him in the garden, the promise of Christ, who became his new foundation, because that good news became the strength of him, and the forgiveness of sins, and the hope of the resurrection was his source of strength. Adam has lived and continues to live in the presence of his Father, seeing him face to face, we just sang in our hymn. But that only happens because our Father in heaven chose to send the second Adam. From the beginning, God intended for you to live forever in peace and quietness. But the sin of Adam and your sin, it was going to bring about a disastrous end for you and me. This is why Christ had to come and endure the disastrous end of condemnation, the wrath of the judgment of the law of God, the pain of death on the cross. The good news that we have received, the good news that our sins are forgiven, that we are saved, that there is the resurrection of the dead and life everlasting, that good news found in the Word of God must be the strength of you. For you are the temple of God's Holy Spirit. No matter how noble, stately, or majestic we may appear on the outside, or no matter how weak or frail we may appear on the outside, as the hymn writer says, the church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. He is the stone that gives you strength. Without him, everything falls apart. the stone the builders rejected, the builders of the temple in Jerusalem, Christ our Lord, has become the capstone. And in Christ, we are designed, and we have been built up that we may live forever. Amen.